shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse free, thy own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy
come thou day spring.
Oh, come thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, shall come to thee, O Israel.
Rejoice,
rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Shall come to thee, O
expected Jesus.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart.
Born thy people.
Born thy people to deliver. Born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy royal throne.
O holy night,
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
A thrill of hope.
A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees.
taught.
Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name.
Son of man.
have a seat.
All the children who are able to listen to a story, come on up and sit here. We're going to tell a story about Santa and the manger. I have a question for you, children. Who does not know their name? Do you know your name? Do you know your name? Do you know your name? Does anybody not know what your name is? Your name is Ethan. That's a good name. And Noah. What would you feel like? What would you feel like if people didn't know your name anymore? Would that make you feel sad if people didn't know your name? I want to tell you about someone that you all think you know, but I don't think you probably know his name. In fact, people have not only forgotten his name, they've forgotten who he was. And so they turn him into something other than he was. Santa Claus and the manger. And I'm not getting a signal for some reason. Do I have the wrong remote? No, I've got the right remote. Okay. Who's that? How can you tell it's Santa? White beard, red jacket, boots, and what's he got on his back? On his back, a big sack, and what's in the sack? Spaghetti and green beans?
Toys.
Toys. Okay. Now, next one. Who's that?
Oh, that's Russian.
Still Santa.
That's Santa, but what's different about this one? What color is his coat?
Green.
And what's he holding here? What's he holding here? A tree. And what's on his back here? Toys?
No.
It looks like a Christmas wreath. He has a teeny little bag of toys, and this one he's got looks like fruit, lemons and oranges, and in his hat, he's got fruit. Who's he? Click. I'll just say click, Alex. Click. That's the British Santa Claus. In England, that's Santa Claus. Okay, let me show you another picture. Click. Who's this? He looks real different. Look at it, he's got blue feathers in his hat, and he's got, I don't know what that is. And he's got a nutcracker in his hand, and he's got all these hooked things. Who's he? Click. He's the German Santa Claus. German. Okay, click. Now this guy, he looks very different. This picture's not as good. But what's he got in here? Anybody know what that is? Yeah, it's a staff. And what's on his head? Yeah, it's a hat that a bishop would wear. He's from where? Click. Turkey. And he looks like he might be a Christian because he's got a symbol of a cross on his head. Click. Who's this guy? Huh? Look at his hat is very different. He's got, I don't know, is that corn cobs or something? And then he's got a doll and he's got, what's the twisty thing? On a long pole. And he's got a light here. And then this one, he's a doll and a doll and a doll and a doll. And he looks kind of roundy and silly. Click. That's right. And they don't even call him Santa Claus. They used to call him the Miracle Man in Russia, but now they call him Grandfather Frost. So he's even lost the name Santa Claus in Russia. Click. Look at this guy. What's on his head? He's got antlers on his head. And he's standing very straight. He's got funny things in his hands, one little toy and an ornament. And he's got a stick with a hook on it, but antlers on his head. Anybody know who he is? Click. He's Norwegian, and they call him, if I can pronounce it right, Julenissen. Click. Who's this guy? He's wearing a long robe, and he's got what? Is that a reindeer?
No.
What is it?
Donkey.
It's a donkey. And he doesn't have a sack. He's got a what? basket with toys in it and a light, but no staff with a hook on it. Where's he from? Click. He's from France, and they call him Pierre Noël. So his name changed there. Click again. Now tell me, is this man Santa Claus? Click. Who's this guy? No, that's not Jesus. They've been to Sunday school. The universal answer for Sunday school is Jesus. He looks very different. He doesn't have any red on. What's he holding here? A book? Click again. Here's another picture of what somebody thinks this man looked like. Look at his head. Does he have? He's got a beard, but he's going bald. And he's also got a Bible. Yeah, can you read who says, what's that word? Saint Nicholas and then of Myra. Does anybody who know who Saint Nicholas of Myra is? He's Santa Claus. Yeah, how did that happen? How did this man become this guy with antlers on his head? How did he become someone who rides around with a donkey or with Rudolph and his shiny nose landing on windows, on tops? How did he become someone who gave toys to children? An imagination, not just imagination, but somebody who didn't want to know the truth. Somebody that didn't want to know the truth. This man was Bishop Nicholas of Myra, which is now part of the country called Turkey. He lived in AD 280, about to about 352. And some of your parents may know a very famous statement of what Christians believe called the Nicene Creed. It was written in Nicaea, which was not far from where he lived during his life. He was known for being generous to the poor. In fact, part of our Christmas story comes from something he did. He grew up in a rich family, really rich. I mean, bags of gold rich. And when he became a Christian, he said, you know, all this money is going to make it hard for me to serve God. But what should I do with it? And there was a man in his church who had been a very holy man. His wife had died, and he had no money. And he had three daughters. In that time, for a girl to get married, the father had to give money to a man to marry her, called a dowry. And the dowry was the way you got a good husband for your daughter. But he didn't have any money. So who would his daughter end up marrying? Well, somebody that would beat her, somebody that would do terrible things to her, perhaps even make her do things that no woman would ever want to do. And so there's a picture that is all over the world that almost nobody since maybe 1800 sees anymore. But it was probably the second most common Christian picture. The most common one would be something about Jesus' life, his crucifixion usually, or one of his miracles. After pictures that show Jesus, the second most common picture up until 1600 AD was a picture of St. Nicholas. And he would be standing outside the house. Inside the house would be the father with his head in his hands weeping because he knew what was going to happen to his daughters since there was no money for a dowry. And the daughters are all sitting with their heads down because they're afraid of what would happen. And a man invisible reaches up and reaches in through a window and he drops a bag of gold. And he comes three times and drops three bags of gold so that each of the daughters would have a dowry and could marry someone who would be a good husband. He reached the money through the window. Why do you think he would put the money through the window rather than knock on the door and say, here's the money? Why do you think he would do that? A secret, that's right. He didn't want anyone to know who was doing this because he was doing it for the other man because he was a Christian and he wanted to help him out. So he did it secretly. But the story got out, and that picture is all over the world. It's on frescoes, icons, stained glass panels, carved panels of churches, illuminated manuscripts of the Psalms, prayer books, picture books of famous Christians. It's one of the most famous Christian pictures that most of us have never seen or even noticed if we did see it. That was St. Nicholas. He was a bishop, which meant that he pastored pastors. A bishop's responsibility was to be the pastor to the pastors of churches. His name is famous. Popes, kings, czars in Russia, despots, and millions of ordinary boys, including one boy in our church, have been named after him. In Russia, you would be called Nikolai. In Slavic countries, you'd be called Nicholas. In France, Nicole. In Baltic countries, Nigel. In Germany, Klaus. In English, Nick or Colin. All those names come from Nicholas. So who was Santa Claus? Santa Claus is the man whose name people forgot. Originally, it was from Santa Claus. The Dutch had a name for St. Nicholas that when they came to America got changed eventually into Santa Claus because Claus is from Nicholas. You can hear Nicholas. You can hear how they get the sound. And it became Santa Claus and it got forgotten. And then in America, his costume changed and the shepherd's crook, which changed from a crook to a walking staff. The hat changed into a silly hat. And the gift to help people live a holy life changed to presents for kids. And everything got lost. He was a man whose name was forgotten. And not only was his name forgotten, but the reason people thought he was important was forgotten. People thought he was important for over 1,000 years because he loved Jesus. And he helped other people love Jesus. Now, I want to ask one more question. Do you all watch commercials on TV? Do you know what commercials are on television? What is the reason they have commercials? To get you to buy stuff, to make you want things, often things you don't need, but to make you want things. That's why they have commercials. And Santa Claus gets connected with all that. The stores have Santa Clauses running around to make you want his pictures and all kinds of silly things to make you want to buy things. And so St. Nicholas has become forgotten because what he stood for has been forgotten. What did he stand for if he was a Christian? What was the most important thing in his life if he was a Christian? Now you can tell me the answer from Sunday school. Jesus, yeah, Jesus. At Christmas time, some of your homes, many Christians, have a little thing called a manger. This looks like a little barn, and there's usually little statues that represent Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men. And Christian parents will often use that to tell the children the story about Jesus. So let me tell you some of that story about how Jesus was born, the story that St. Nicholas wanted everyone to know. You know, the sad thing is that just as people have forgotten St. Nicholas's name, so many people have forgotten Jesus' name. They say Merry Christmas. Now, those of you that are old enough can spell. Can somebody spell the word Christmas for me? Okay, the first part of Christmas is C-H-R-I-S-T. What does that spell? Christ. You see, when we say Merry Christmas, we're really saying Merry Jesus Christ Day. Christmas, Merry Jesus Christ Day. His birthday. And we've forgotten that Christmas is about Jesus. I'm glad your parents brought you here tonight because they want you to know that Christmas is about Jesus. In the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, there's a woman named Mary. She's a young woman, a teenager, probably 14, 15, 16 years old. And the angel sent Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, reading from Luke's Gospel, to a virgin, which means she's never been with a man, she's never been married, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. Her name was Mary, and the angel came up to her and said, "Greetings, Mary, you are highly favored with God, and God himself is with you." Mary was very confused by these words. She wondered, what did it mean? The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be pregnant, you will be with child, and you'll give birth to a baby boy, and you will call him name Joshua, or Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. His kingdom will never end." But Mary said, "How can this be? I am not married." The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then a miracle happens. Elizabeth, who's related to her and never was able to have a baby and was very old and couldn't have a baby, she was pregnant, and she'd been pregnant for 6 months. And the angel says, that is so that you know that nothing is impossible for God. And Mary said, I will do whatever God wants. May it be to me as you have said. Then she goes, sees her cousin, and she discovers she is pregnant, and everything just like God said. And an angel comes to her, and he says to her that she is favored. I read that already, sorry. And she stayed with her cousin, and then this is about how the birth of the baby came about. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph didn't know what to do. He was righteous. He didn't want to have her exposed to public disgrace, so he thought he would divorce or separate from her quietly. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What is conceived to her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus or Joshua. She will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Joseph woke up, and he did exactly as the angel had told him to do. You know what the word Joshua means in the Old Testament? It means Savior. The Lord saves us. Jesus means the Lord saves us. And Jesus was the reason for everything that happened in the Old Testament. Everything finds its purpose in Jesus. Now, in a minute, we're going to be done. And I'm going to give you an ornament for your tree. Although some parents let children eat this ornament. It's a candy cane. What does this look like in the pictures we saw? It looks like the shepherd's crook, yes. It's to remind you that Jesus, born in a manger where sheep were, became the great shepherd. And you know what a shepherd would use this for? He wouldn't put it around your neck to yank you and hurt you. He'd put it around the sheep's body and pull it back from safety. If the sheep was walking too close to an edge where it might fall into a stream and get hurt, or fall off the side of a cliff and roll down a hill and get hurt, or if it was wandering away and there were wolves out there, he would use it and pull the sheep back and speak to it and say, come back, little sheep, come back. In fact, by the time the little baby lamb had grown up to be a sheep, it would know his voice and it wouldn't need to be pulled anymore. It would know his voice, and if he said, come back, it would come back. This is to remind you that Jesus is your shepherd. When you grow up, sometimes things are scary, and Jesus will always pull you back to what is safe because he cares for you. It has two colors. What are the two colors? Red and white. Yes, red and white. What do those two represent? The red represents when Jesus died for us. He, as you know, died on the cross and shed his blood so that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty for all the things we've done wrong. And the white is the color of purity. It's the color of what's clean. And that's to remind us that Jesus wants us to be clean, like Mary, to be pure, but also he wants us to be all that he created us to be. And if we will let him be our shepherd, he will help us to be all that God created us to be. So let's see if you can remember, if you hang this on a Christmas tree or maybe somewhere in your house you can hang it, what does its shape remind you of? Shepherd. Jesus is your shepherd. He will protect you and pull you back from danger. And what does the red remind you of? Which tells us that Jesus did what? Died on the cross for our sins. So that if you feel guilty, you can ask him for forgiveness. And he will forgive you on what Jesus did. And the white reminds you that? Purity, which means Jesus wants you to do what's right, but also he will help you to do what is right. Because sometimes we can't on our own. Sometimes we know what we should do and we can't. And Jesus will help us. So sometimes you will say, Jesus, take your shepherd's staff and pull me back so that I'll be safe. Jesus, help me to do what you want me to do. Saint Nicholas was a man whose name people forgot. Now you can tell your friends when you see Santa Claus, you can say to them, do you know who Santa Claus really was? He was who? And who was Saint Nicholas? He was a Christian leader. He was a person who cared for the Christians, who loved them. He was a person who told other people about Jesus. And so you can tell people that they may not know who Santa Claus represents, but he doesn't represent buying things. In fact, St. Nicholas didn't buy things. What did he do with his money? He gave it away, just as Jesus gave himself to us. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you a candy cane, and you may want to give this to your parent to hold until you get home so it doesn't get broken. And parents, it's up to you if you want it to be something other than an ornament, because they are pure sugar. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that we have not forgotten your name or made you into someone silly, like people have done with St. Nicholas, turning him into someone who has antlers on his head or someone who rides around on a sleigh and making silly stories. Let us never forget that St. Nicholas loved Jesus and help us to love Jesus as he did. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you come up, you can get your candy canes. There's plenty, so no rush. Let me open up the box so it doesn't break.
Let's sing some more Christmas songs before we go home for the evening. Stand and sing with us. Hark the herald.
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Christ by highest.
Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord, right in time behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb, tailed in flesh the God has seen, hail incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, to the newborn King.
Hail the heaven-born.
Hail the heaven-born, Son of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen wailing in his wings. How he lays his glory by, born to stand no more. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give a second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
All right, so we're all here this evening because we want to remember Christ's birth. And so this last song that we're going to sing is kind of a song of goodbye, but just a continuance of the Christmas season. May you go out and bless others. May you go out and tell them that Christ is King, that Jesus is born. While shepherds
were out watching their silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
While shepherds,
the shepherds feared and trembled when I above the earth rung out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Oh, tell it on the over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lonely manger, the humble Christ was born and brought us God's salvation. That blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Merry Christmas, and we'll have Dr. Green give us a benediction before we go.
Now may you go in the name of one whose name will never be forgotten. Go in his name, who loved you before you even were. Go in his name, who has redeemed you for all of eternity. Jesus, amen. Feel free to chat for a little bit. We welcome you to come back tomorrow, 9:30, as we worship Christ. There'll be no community groups. We'll have an extended refreshment time, but you'll be able to get out in time for any family activities you have at noon.